You just tuned into the Dental Marketer Talks, hashtag TDM Talks podcast. I'm your host, Michael, coming at you with the latest episode. What is up, Dental Marketer Tribe? I hope you're having a great time today. Hope you're having a great weekend. This episode is actually dropping on Sunday, so that's why I said I hope you guys are having a great weekend. This episode is jam-packed, and I mean jam-packed with a lot of knowledge in marketing your practice. My featured guest is Dr. Michael Schuster. He has his own thriving practice, but he's also the owner of the Schuster Center. And now the Schuster Center has been in business for over 39 years, which means he has over 480 months worth of general research, of unique strategies and knowledge of what has worked and what hasn't worked through trials and testing with practices. And I mean, he knows the ups and downs and everything around. So guys, really take in and listen to what he has to say in these episodes. We talk about the best strategies, obviously, and the worst strategies, what has worked in the past and what we're still stuck with, and what we need to change, what mindsets do we need to start adapting to, or what do we need to start thinking about as far as the future, so we can start not only attracting new patients, but retaining the patients that we have, so our practice can pretty much market itself. So there's that, and there's so much more business advice and knowledge that he has to share with you. So guys, I want you to take in as much as you can and replay this episode as much as you can. All right, let's talk with our featured guest, Dr. Michael Schuster. The Schuster Center was founded in 1978 by Dr. Michael Schuster, a practicing private care dentist, to teach principles of life, business, and high-quality patient care. For over 39 years, the Schuster Center has been helping dentists learn and apply sound strategies to create a business model in their practice, which serves the professional model. A model designed to achieve profitability while enabling the dentist to work one-on-one with each patient in a non-manipulative approach to treatment acceptance. Their work is aimed at helping dentists create a practice that they love to go to work in and enables the dentist to communicate and connect with patients to help them accept the dentistry they need, want, and value. The Schuster Center model is built using proven strategies of money, time, organization, communication, marketing, sales, values, and vision. Dr. Schuster, thank you so much for being on the show. How's it going today?
Going great, Michael. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Awesome. Dr. Schuster, why don't you tell the Dental Marketer Tribe a little bit about your past, present, and future, and how you got to where you are today?
Okay, I'll make it as quick as I can. I went to the Pinky Institute, and I was, as a young dentist, and I was selected to be a cadre, which is one of the teaching faculty there. So I taught there actually for 12 years, about a week a month. But what I learned when I was down there, that the dentists were trying to improve themselves, but they were having difficulty actually applying and getting off the shelf what they were learning. So I had the idea of starting a place where people that really wanted to do more comprehensive dentistry, more complete dentistry, could develop a business model that would facilitate that. And through those years, you know, I taught with Peter Dawson. I taught at the LSU School of Cosmetic Dentistry. I taught also at Biosthetics International, all technical training. So I've been kind of in both worlds. I've been, you know, obviously as a dentist, I'm a practicing dentist, but I've also been really trying to help dentists learn what they need to learn to be successful in their practices. And so I probably learn more from my students than anything else in terms of working with them on a day-to-day basis. So that's kind of what's taken me from there to here, and I'm still doing it and still enjoying it.
Gotcha. How old actually is your practice?
Well, I've been in practice for more than 38 years.
Gotcha.
The Schuster Center has been in existence since 1978. So we're really in our 39th year of doing this. Okay? And we have collected data. Every time we work with somebody, we actually get the data that they have when we begin with them. We get their numbers, and we track their numbers throughout their entire process being with us. And we probably have over 300,000 months of data, which really serves as, so to speak, our research to really know when we say to somebody, well, this is a strategy that we know works. We know it works because we've applied it, we've tested it, we've taught it, and we've got the data to prove it. So we only teach those key strategies that we know are going to get results mm-hmm. because we've proven that they get results through our research.
Wow, that's amazing. All those years, and you know, you guys definitely know the ins and outs, the trials and errors, and the secrets and strategies to creating a successful dentistry. So what is one marketing technique, tactic, strategy, or plan that you have seen or used to attract new patients successfully?
Well, you're gonna think this is a little off center, but what I have seen, the most single, we all want people yeah. who know what we're doing. The best source of new patients is a referral that we get from one of our better patients. Mm-hmm. So the best, absolute best, least expensive, most predictable way to attract new patients is through the new patient experience that patients have when they're with us. In other words, I say to my own staff, if my patients aren't referring people off of that first appointment, it's not good enough. In other words, I'm expecting in the first engagement, the first appointment that I have with a patient, that they're going to be so impacted by the experience and what they're learning and what's going on and the way they're cared for that they're going to send people to me. And that's exactly what happened. So to me, that's the best. Okay. I'm not saying that there aren't others, but to me, that's the single best one.
What scripts do you think or systems work for optimal referrals, to get as many referrals as possible from a patient?
I don't know another best way to get a referral from in a face-to-face interaction. You know, what I like to do is ask people when they're with me, you're asking for a script, so here is what I would say. Mm-hmm. Do you like people? Do you care about people? Because if somebody doesn't care about people, they're not going to refer anybody to you. So if they care about people, you know, you may know someone in your family or a good friend who would like an experience like what you're having. And I can say that any time, whether it's at the first appointment, whether it's completing a first phase of treatment or this or that. How has been your experience so far? Because I want to get feedback from them. Do you like what's going on here? Is this meaningful to you? That I'm not going to just ask somebody for a referral until I know that what the experience they're having is really positive and that they really care about other people. Maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a mother, a father, a child, a friend, a best friend. Maybe you have someone that you care about that would like an experience like this. So that's kind of what I've used. It sounds kind of simple, but you know, it really works. Mm-hmm. But I first want to know, Michael, are they happy with what they've experienced? How are you feeling about today? How do you feel what's going on? Follow me? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that definitely makes sense. That's a good question, actually. I've never really heard of that. Of just asking somebody or the patient, you know, hey, do you care about people, or do you have anybody you care for or anything? Obviously, almost everybody's going to say yeah, you know, and then from that point on, if they're happy with their experience, that's when you can mention it. That's really interesting. I like that. I like that. I guess I like that script, the way you use it for your practice.
You know, Michael, I hear a lot of people, and you know this probably more than I do, but I hear a lot of people using these computerized feedback systems. Mm-hmm. You know, tell us what you think, all the stuff on Yelp and everything. And then I also hear a lot of people that say, well, they really don't get a lot of feedback on that. So mm-hmm. I think it's a very personal thing. It's a one-on-one thing. And I know I've had patients that when I ask them if you care about people, they kind of look kind of dumbfounded with the glazed donut look on their eye. And so I understand that they, in their own mind, they're not the kind of people that are going to go out and be an ambassador or an emissary for you. But it doesn't take very many really positive, patients that have had great experiences with us that like to tell other people. It doesn't take very many of those people to really start building a wonderful referral tree into a practice.
Mm-hmm. And what would you, like, you and I both know that there's a lot of dentists listening and then they think, Okay, yeah, you're right. You know, it just takes to ask. But when it comes time to asking for the referral, or not asking for the referral, but just kind of going along with the script that you said, they hesitate or they choke. Is there any like tactic or strategy or maybe a technique that you recommend that they can use to, you know, gain that courage to just ask the patient?
Well, I think that's a great question. That's a great question, Michael. But can I go back a little bit and say, okay, so I would really, really work on creating the best possible experience that I could in every facet of that. And that would give me the confidence to know, following. And not only that, but if I'm really working at it and I'm really have this step-by-step process that's really engaging people and connecting with them, I have a certain level of confidence in that. Mm-hmm. So I would say that would really need to be first, that I would really feel that I had a process, a system, whatever you call it, to really get me a predictable end result, that patient's going to have a smile on their face at the end of that appointment, at the end of each appointment, and they're really going to be feeling good about what's going on before I would have the confidence to ask them for that, use that referral strategy that I was talking to you about. Work on the inside to make it an outstanding experience, and then you're gonna get enough positive feedback from people that it's gonna enable you and make you feel good about what you're doing, and you know what you're doing is working, so you have confidence in it, huh? Because the worst thing that can happen is to oversell and underdeliver. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're checking in with people to be sure as they're going through our process, they're going through us and their experiences with it, we're checking in with them to be sure that they're feeling good about what's happened, they're getting the information they need.
Got it. All right. What is one marketing strategy, idea, or technique you would never do again, and why?
All right. Well, there's going to be variances of opinion about this because there's three different levels of practices. So I need to just quantify this in 1 minute or less.
Yeah, no, take your time.
There's a mass market segment, okay? Mm-hmm. Mass market, okay? In other words, that would be something like Coca-Cola. It would be something like Walmart. It would be something like Kmart or McDonald's, mass mm-hmm. market, where there's anybody and everybody can go to that store or that get that product, and they really want everybody. There's no discrimination. There's no differentiation. Then there's what's called a segmented market. And I was on a group of 470 thought leaders from all over the world, from 45 countries, that spent a year and a half, you know, on teleconferencing calls. And the end result was there's only three business models. Only in all the world, there's only three. Mm-hmm. Mass market, there's a segmented market. And I always think of Marriott when I think of that, because Marriott has a number of different offerings that are meant for different segments of the market with different needs and wants and different price points. And then there's what you and I know also as a niche market. In other words, we're providing one specific thing. And when I think of a niche market, I always think of Federal Express, okay? Mm-hmm. They're doing one thing, they're not doing anything else. So when you say, what's the biggest mistake that people make in marketing? Well, people market differently for a mass market practice than they do a segmented market practice, than they do a niche market practice. So in a mass market practice, you know, what I see is I can't say it's a mistake. It would be for me because I'm a segmented market guy. Mm-hmm. In terms of what I deliver in my practice, TMJ, minimally invasive dentistry, and rejuvenation. Those are my markets. Okay, mm-hmm. Three different segments attracting three different kinds of people, right, that want those things. So if you're a mass market dentist, maybe direct mail works. But I have found that a lot of people buy these cards, they send them in the mail, they spend $15,000, $18,000, $30,000 doing it in a year's period of time, because I've talked with them, and mm-hmm. they've thrown the money away. Maybe they get 20 people, 30 people, but they're coming in to get that cheap offering and they leave. They don't stay. So maybe in a mass market practice, you market things differently than you would in a segmented market or a niche market practice. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But to me, I consistently talk to dentists that I've never met before, and I said, well, okay, so what are you doing for me? Oh, I've got this direct mail campaign. I just signed up. It's going to be $16,000. And I think to myself, well, you just burned $16,000. Okay? But that's an opinion, because you can actually hurt your practice advertising low price offers to people. If you're a segmented market dentist or a niche market dentist, that will hurt your practice. It won't help it. Fine? Mm-hmm. So it just depends upon what kind of a practice an individual doctor has or an individual doctor wants. Okay. Remember, we talked about this before, the ADA and others are saying 85% of all dental practices in the United States, general practices, they peaked in their net profit in 2005, and they've been on their way down ever since. So mass marketing isn't working so good, except in big, big clinics and in corporate dentistry, mass marketing. It's not working so good for the everyday guy or gal that's in a private, smaller practice. It's not working so good, right? Because they're competing and they're trying to do the same thing, and their costs, they can't do it. Okay, that's why they're going down. Okay, because mm-hmm. A lot of them, they don't have an offering. Now, to me, marketing is having a specific emotional benefit to someone by the service or product that we offer. In other words, we don't buy the crown, we buy what the crown does for us. Exactly. When we're dealing with different cars, we're not just buying transportation, we're buying what that car does for us when we're in the car. So I think when we talk about marketing, there's market segments. And mm-hmm. then we have to ask ourselves, well, what segment do I want to attract? So mm-hmm. then how we market begins to come into there.
And so for a general dentist, right, a general dentist, you and I sometimes ask a general dentist in a pretty saturated community, you know, who's your target market? What customer do you want to attract? And likely they say everybody, right? They're like, I want everybody to come on in. What would you respond to that? Like, as far as when they say everybody, obviously everybody, when you're marketing like that, it's just kind of, you're just throwing everything on the wall and seeing what sticks. You know, your money's going to be wasted. Money's not going to be wasted, things like that. What would you recommend for a dentist who is thinking like that?
Well, honestly, my statement is that you're going to need, if you're going to do that, you're going to need to be in a very, very high volume environment. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a very, very low case acceptance. I'll give you an example. I talked, because these are real live examples. I mm-hmm. won't give you names. So a young dentist starts a practice. She's a year into her practice. She's seeing 70 new patients a month. Mm-hmm. So I asked her, how effective is your new? Oh, it's really good. And then I divided her $40,000 a month income by 70, and I came up with $571 per patient. In other words, those patients are coming into her practice are buying an average of $571 worth of services, and she can't pay her bills because she's mass marketing. Following?
Yeah.
And so you get busy, but you get so busy that you don't establish relationships with people. You don't find out what they want. You don't do an adequate comprehensive exam, a diagnosis, and you're just trying to sell them some treatment at the same appointment. And that's a one-way ticket to nowhere. So mm-hmm. what I would say is get really clear about what you love to do, but also get clear about what the market wants. What do people really, really want? In other words, what do people really want? And the only way I'm going to find out what somebody wants is to sit down and ask them. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not going to be able to determine what 1,000 people in Scottsdale want. I'm going to have to sit down with each one and not make assumptions. But what's happening is people are moving people through their practices too quickly, too mm-hmm. fast, and they never really find out what people want. And if I can't find out, like if you were a patient, if I didn't find out what you wanted, Michael, I might think I knew what you wanted, and I might present something to you and go, well, no, it's not what I want. Doesn't this guy understand me? Yeah. And then the patient says, I don't have the money. It's too much time. I'll only do what the insurance will pay for, because we haven't really discovered what that person wants. So mass marketing, which is what many dentists get into, and you know that, I know that, mm-hmm. They do it for a while. They figure out it doesn't work. And now they're in financial trouble because they borrowed money. They've got the practice. I mean, it becomes pretty much of a negative environment rather than really looking at each person and saying, okay, what does this person want? You know, how can I help them get what they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard the old Zig Ziglar statement. If you want to get what you want, you got to help enough other people get what they want, right?
And I think too many of us kind of see, or we want quick results, right? And we don't realize that marketing takes consistency. It takes persistence. It takes time. You know what I mean? To find out all these things. Yeah. Asking people, asking, you know, your community what they want, it's not going to happen in like a day, a month, or maybe not even a year. You know what I mean? But that's the problem. I think a lot of us, I mean, we're in that type of times at this time where we want everything kind of fast, right? We want results. We see a lot of patients. We're busy. But are we productive? You know, are the collections coming in properly? What's happening? You know what I mean? I think that's one of the major issues right now, as far as we're so obsessed with statistics and seeing, okay, I've been doing this marketing for probably 3 to 6 months now. What's the ROI? Ooh, it's not that great. Let's just change it. Let's just throw it away. You know, and then they throw it away. When what's really going to hurt them is when they find out that their competitor is doing the exact same thing, but they stuck with it longer and now they're reaping the rewards. But
well, you know, because you're the marketing expert, but it takes about 18 months for a good marketing strategy to really start seeing. It's not like an overnight thing. Mm-hmm. It does take time. But, you know, you mentioned something that's really interesting, because a lot of times people will pay a lot of money to have a marketing analysis done. Well, in my practice, I'm sitting there talking to people every day. If I find out what people want, I'm doing my own marketing analysis. Fine. Mm-hmm. When I talk to dentists and I find and they're telling me what their issues are or their problems are, they're really helping me understand what it is that they need to resolve their problems. Because as in my practice, I'm in the problem solving business. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in to increase people's quality of life, when I'm over here in the center, I'm in the problem solving business. To help dentists solve their problems, to help them increase their quality of life. So I think that without knowledge, if somebody comes in and tells me what my market wants, they may or may not be right. So we can do a lot of our own, quote, marketing research by just talking to people, visiting with them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, and like you said, there's literally no better interaction than face-to-face talking with someone, because you can send out a bunch of surveys, and I mean, who knows who's filling out the surveys, who knows if they're just doing it for the incentive, you know what I mean? But if you're talking with your patients, your current patients, especially the patients you love, if you're talking with the patients you love and you say, like, ask them questions, you know, what else can we do for you and your family, things like that, and they start giving you feedback, I mean, you're just only going to get more of those patients you love, you know, the happy customers.
If we meet people's needs and we meet what they want, that's what we need to consider. I love the statement, if you help enough people get what they want, you're going to get what you want. Mm-hmm. So the key issue is, what do they need? What do they want? And to what degree to the services that I offer, to what degree is that going to help them get it? Okay?
Yeah.
And if there's a good match there between what somebody wants and what I can help them with, now we've got a reason to have a relationship. Right? Now I'm in the business, my total dedication is, how can I help this person get what they want? Mm-hmm. And to the degree I do that, I develop a really, what I like to refer to as a trusted partner. Mm-hmm. I'm first become an advocate for the patient, right? Rather mm-hmm. than them becoming. And I think a lot of times what happens, and you mentioned it, but I think that you would probably see this. We become adversaries with people, not advocates with people. We let a third party interfere in our relationship, and then all of a sudden we become adversaries to the patient rather than, look, I'm here to help you. My total reason for being here is to help you get what you want. There's no other reason for me to be in business. To the degree I help you get what you want, you're gonna help me get what I want. That's an attitude, though, Michael, isn't it? Right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's a mindset and an attitude. You have to have that. Uh-huh. What's the best piece of business advice, or one of the best pieces of business advice you've ever received that can help my listeners simplify, accelerate, or completely change their practice in a positive way?
Oh, wow. Okay. So something that really changed the course of my whole practice. It's a very quick, well, not that quick, But I was in practice, and the fella came in and sat in my reception room. It was kind of the end of the day, dressed in a suit. I can see him now. And so everybody was gone. I was still in the office getting ready to go home. And I walked out, and I said, well, what are you here for? He said, well, I work for a professional budget plan, and you've been here. I've seen your office a couple of times. I thought I'd come in and meet you. And my name is Charlie Wilson. I said, so what do you do? He said, well, I basically help dentists with their new patient process. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now I know I'm kind of, you know, my ire is kind of up. I'm thinking, okay, this guy's going to try to sell me something. So I said, well, what do you want? He said, if you've got a little, I'd like to spend maybe half hour with you and just sit and visit. Do you have a half hour? I said, yeah, I got a half hour. Let's go talk. So we went into my private office, which was also my console area. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, what do you do? Tell me what you do with your new patients now. What do you do? And I'm practicing in Dyersville, Iowa, where the movie Field of Dream was filmed.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people came into the office at that time, and they wanted their teeth out. Mm-hmm. So I had taken some pictures of bums on the street when I was in the Navy in Philadelphia. I was teaching at Temple. And when they had all their teeth out, I'd ask them, I'll give you $5. Let me take your picture. Well, you know, I'd take their picture, mm-hmm. and they were maybe 32, but they looked like they were 72. So I had these 3 5x7 pictures that I would show patients, mm-hmm. about this is, and the idea was when you lose your teeth, this is what you look like.
Yeah.
So he said, that's pretty interesting. He said, but I want to share something with you. And I said, well, why? And he said, I remember him saying, he said, I've got about 6 months to live. Hmm. If I give this to you and share this with you, I want you to share it with other people. So he gave me what we call the dreadful story. And the mm-hmm. dreadful story is simply this, in picture form, a little bit of decay leads to a little bit more. A little bit of tooth destruction with fillings leads to more over time. A little bit of gum disease leads to more over time. A little bit of tooth wear leads to more over time. And it was the idea that dental disease is progressive. And that dreadful, so from that, I crafted my own, quote, dreadful story about the breakdown. So I think it's like the most important thing I would say to anybody is the first thing we need to do is engage people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you engage a patient, The central point of engagement is you're establishing a purpose to the relationship. You know, you have friends, I have friends, we do different things together. I met with one of my long-term best friends in life yesterday for lunch. What did we do? We just were there together. We didn't have any particular outcome in mind, we just were there. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we have golf friends, we have dental friends, we have patients. Patients, to be a person, a client, for you to have a client or me to have a client, whether it's in the center or my practice, there needs to be a purpose to that relationship. That's the first thing we need to establish is, what are you here for? What do you want? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm there. There's a reason to that. Then we move to the next step is getting connected with them. The connection is that people get connected to the disease story, right? They either mm-hmm. see themselves in the story or they want to stop it, right? So, but without the engagement, without the connection, it's very difficult to think that people are going to get committed to any long-term or any treatment plan other than just fixing what's wrong today. So over mm-hmm. the period of years, starting with that, I've developed this process in the new patient experience, and that's why I think, Pete Dawson thinks, I know John Coyce believes this because I'm a close friend of John's, mm-hmm. that the most important thing that happens in a dental practice is the establishment of the type and quality of relationship with each person. And if I don't do that, if anybody doesn't do that, we can't expect the patient to be moving forward with much treatment. That would be the single most important thing that I learned that changed the whole direction of the rest of my practice in dentistry.
Alrighty, Dr. Schuster, thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, tell us where it is we can find you.
Well, two places. If people have questions and they want a direct question about anything that happened, have them email me at Mike, M-I-K-E, at C-F-P-D.com, Charlie Frank Papa Delta.com. Or they can go for more information about the center, the work we do, they can go to Schuster Center, S-C-H-U-S-T-E-R-C-E-N-T-E-R, SchusterCenter.com. And the website talks about what we do and how we do it. And there's a lot of webinars. There's a lot of videos on the website that they can download to give them further information. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And the Schuster Center has so much information, so much research to back their information up, and so much knowledge. So thank you once again, Dr. Schuster, for being with us today. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon, okay?
Thank you, Michael. Good to be with you.
Dental Marketer Tribe, I want to thank every single one of you for tuning into this episode and listening. Just thank you in general for always clicking the subscribe button, downloading this, listening to it on the way home from work, on the way to work, maybe when you're out for a walk or cleaning the house. I don't know. However you're listening to this podcast, thank you guys so much for the support. Thank you for all the reviews and the emails you guys give me. I love it. I love it all. Thank you guys so much. Don't forget to keep following me on Instagram under The Dental Marketer. Also, don't forget to like the Facebook page under The Dental Marketer and follow me on Twitter under TDM Tweeting. And guys, I'll talk to you soon.